all the hoopla about reverse mortgages these days, it's surprising that only about 2% of folks eligible for them take one out. Hi, I'm Rob West. Maybe the 98% know something the others don't. Not just that reverse mortgages have high fees and lots of rules, but that there are alternatives. I'll talk about them today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, no doubt the idea of getting a lump sum payment or a nice monthly check from a reverse mortgage company could be a big help to someone who has all or most of their house paid off, but still struggles with day-to-day expenses. It could seem like a real lifesaver, but there is no free lunch. To get that money, you're giving up equity in your home, and that might be a concern for a lot of seniors who'd like to leave something to their heirs, not a mortgage company. So what sounds good doesn't always work out that way. Reverse mortgages typically have higher interest rates and other costs and fees attached to them. You also pay the usual closing costs that you would for any mortgage: an appraisal, loan recording, credit check, and title insurance. But then you'll also have to pay a mandatory counseling fee, a 2% mortgage insurance fee up front, and then an annual mortgage insurance fee plus a monthly loan servicing fee of up to $30 if your interest rate adjusts monthly. But there's an even bigger thing you have to watch out for with a reverse mortgage, and that's the company trying to sell you on one through TV ads and mailings. You have to know who you're dealing with. As I said, the pitch may sound good, but the reverse mortgage companies haven't always lived up to their promises. Some years back, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau fined three of these companies for deceptive advertising. No wonder that Consumer Reports says you should consider a reverse mortgage only if there's no other way to stay in your home and pay your bills. And you should only reach that decision after exhausting all the alternatives. And there are four of them to consider. First, sell your home and buy something smaller, leaving you with the difference in cash. This can be difficult from an emotional standpoint because a home you've lived in and raised your children in can hold a lot of memories. If you can overcome the emotional attachment, not only will downsizing give you the cash you need, but the reduced expenses may just be what you need to balance your budget. The next alternative, if you haven't entirely paid off the home yet, is to consider refinancing the balance you owe. Interest rates have been climbing, but they still may be low enough that you could reduce your monthly payment and free up cash. If you go that route, you want to avoid, if at all possible, extending the term of the loan. If you have 10 years left on your current mortgage, you want to refinance with a new, lower interest 10-year mortgage. And you really want the new interest rate to be at least 1 point lower than the old rate. The next alternative to a reverse mortgage is a little outside the box, but how about selling the home to a family member, perhaps children who would be heirs anyway when you go home to the Lord? If you sell the property to a family member, you get cash out, and then you can lease it back and remain living there. The family member or members could then take advantage of certain tax deductions for landlords. Now, the last alternative is something of a variation of selling to a family member. Just as before, that person buys the house from you, but with what might be called an inter-family mortgage. In other words, you owner finance the purchase. The family member makes the monthly mortgage payment to you instead of a bank, giving you the cash to meet your expenses. There's another advantage to owner financing the sale of your home to a family member or anyone else. You would reduce the amount you could potentially owe in capital gains taxes. If the outright sale of the home would generate a profit of more than $250,000 for an individual or $500,000 for a couple filing jointly, then spreading out those payments over a number of years could reduce the amount of capital gains you'd have to pay in any given year. That part can get pretty complicated, so it's best to consult with an estate or tax attorney on how to do this so you pay the least amount in taxes. Any of these alternatives are worth investigating if you're struggling with day-to-day expenses, but you don't want to sign your home over to a reverse mortgage company. So beware, take your time, pray, and then decide the best option for you. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit EngageMagazine.net.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals. With step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
In today's image-obsessed culture, it's easy to forget that you're beautiful to God, regardless of your outward appearance. On the next Focus on the Family, Sherry Rose Shepherd shares how winning beauty pageants fed her need for approval, but she still felt ugly inside. You'll hear what changed on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're so glad you've taken some time to be with us today. Each morning on this program, we gather together as God's people to say, if we're stewards of God's resources, and that's what we are, we're managers because He owns it all, then how can we be found faithful in that? What does it look like to establish our lifestyle and save for the future? And how does giving fit into that? And is there a place for debt? And how do we reduce our debt over time? All of those are questions and so much more that we tackle on this program each day, always looking to God's Word as the source. It's not my wisdom. It's God's wisdom that we want, and we want to apply that to the decisions and choices you're making every day. What's on your mind? We have a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. In addition to your phone calls today, we'll tackle a couple of emails. Sue had a tough time a couple of years ago, had some charge-offs and medical bill collections. She's now current on everything, but wants to know, how do I improve my credit score? I'll weigh in on that. And then Austin wants to know, with the raise he got recently, should he boost his retirement contribution? contributions or accelerate the payoff of his mortgage. I'll weigh in on that as well. Plus your phone calls. Again, 800-525-7000. A little later in the broadcast, I'll also tackle the question, how and when should we help the needy? When you come across those who are in a desperate situation from poverty, what is the right time to provide? How should we think about that as believers? I'll weigh in on that topic as well. All right, let's dive in today. Heading to the phone, starting in Mississippi. Al, you'll be our first caller today. Go ahead, sir.
Rob.
Hi, Al.
Morning. Yes, I'm retired, and I have two buckets of retirement. I have a TSP with approximately $300,000.
Okay.
And I was considering a rollover annuity. I talked with a USAA rep, and he said if I wanted to get a stream of $1,000 for me and $1,000 for my wife in case something happened with me or something happened to her, I would need $191,686 to achieve that. And yes. I don't mean to throw these numbers at you, but I was just wondering, would that be a wise move? Because I can leave it where it is right now in the TSP fund. And it's virtually no administrative cost to keep it there. They loosened their rules up recently where you can go online and pull money pretty much, you know, two times a month. And they're a lot more lax on pulling your money out.
Yes.
But I didn't know if this annuity was a good idea because USAA is a very reputable company. I've got my savings and vehicle mortgage with them, and I've been with them about 20, 25 years. So what would you advise?
Yeah, so let me just make sure I understand. So, Al, basically what they're saying is if you roll 190 of the 300,000 into this annuity product, that they could give you off of that 190,000 an income stream for life that goes for you, but beyond your life with survivor's benefits to your wife as well, a consistent $1,000 a month for the rest of both of your lives, correct?
Correct. And
yeah.
If I wanted to increase that to $1,200, approximately $290,000 I would have to pull out. And I've got $300 in there, so it pretty much would wipe it out.
Well, but, now that part's throwing me off a little bit. So to get an extra $200, you've got to go from $190,000 to $290,000?
I think that's what he said. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That part doesn't seem right. But let's just talk about the bigger question here. And, you know, I can understand why you might want to do this in the sense that you're looking for that guaranteed income stream. And, you know, annuities, just to be frank, are not my favorite solution. I mean, they tend to be expensive. There's commissions baked into these. You know, obviously, you've got the underwriting fees that go to the actuarial risk on the benefits. And then you've got the, you know, fund management, which may or may not give you the performance you're looking for, but in this case, you're looking for an income stream, so that's less of an issue. Then you have the penalty. So if you needed to access the money for any reason, you would have surrender charges and other penalties that you would have to address. The benefit, though, is you could take a portion of this retirement and basically guarantee an income stream for life for you and your wife. That gives you the peace of mind to know that regardless of what the market is doing, we can count on this extra $1,000 a month. And, you know, if that solves for a gap in the income that you need to meet your obligations on a monthly basis, you may decide that's entirely worth doing. If in fact it's, you know, $190,000 translates into $1,000 a month, and that does apply to both you and your wife, so it doesn't go away. If you pass away, it requires both of you to die. You know, that's not a bad offer. What I would typically look at is to say, okay, what if we put that same $190,000 to work? And we would typically look in retirement at a, you know, with maybe a 60-40 portfolio, bonds to stocks, you know, a 4% withdrawal rate where you'd never decrease the principal over time. It may be down in any given month or quarter, but over time you'd try to maintain the principal balance of 190 and pull out 4% a year, that'd be $633 a month, $7,600 a year on $190,000. Now, the benefit of that is, even though you are taking, you're assuming the risk yourself, because if the market goes against you, you could lose value, even though over the long haul, it should, you know, work out well with a properly managed portfolio. But you're obviously, we're talking $633 a month versus $1,000. Now, the upside is you've still got access to your money. So if you know, had a major medical event, you had something out of left field, you needed to access part of that 190, you can do that without a lot of penalties. So I think a couple of things here. You just need to determine, number one, how much added peace of mind do you get by transferring the risk away from yourself to the insurance company? That's issue number one. Issue number two is, are you correct in that you're going to get $1,000 for not only your life, but your wife's life as well? And is it $190 for $1,000? I double check that. It sounds a little high. It's a good number, but it sounds a little high. And then number three, how much value do you put on being able to get to the principal without surrender charges and penalties versus not, which would be the case with the annuity? I think those are really the three issues that you've got to consider. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. I've got two steady income streams. I'm federal retiree and Air Guard retiree. So I've got, you know, steady plus Social Security. So, you know, it's just kind of like six of one, half dozen the other, which way I go. But I appreciate your insights on this.
Well, you're welcome. And I think just given that last piece of information there, Al, if in fact the retirement you have plus Social Security is enough to cover your bills for the rest of your life, then I kind of like the idea of not putting it into an insurance product, because, you know, what I'd rather see you do is take that, invest it conservatively, keep access to the money, and then be able to draw an income stream if you need it. But here's the great thing. You know, if you manage it properly, you could pull an income stream off of it and it'd still be there after both of you die, and you could give it to, you know, support God's work. You could leave it as an inheritance, as opposed to the annuity contract where, you know, in all likelihood, that just goes away. So if your bills are covered, I kind of like the idea of you connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor and having this money managed. Thanks for your call, Al. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thankful you've joined us this morning for MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, thousands of our listeners, young and old, are having great success in managing their finances with the MoneyWise app. And I can't think of a better tool to help you manage your budget, pay your bills, plus have biblical financial advice at your fingertips. And it's available on desktop or mobile. So just head to our website, moneywise.org, click the app tab for details. By the way, if you're already using the MoneyWise app and love it, we'd love for you to post a review in the Apple App Store or the Android Play Store. That gives us greater visibility to reach even more people with this biblically based tool. You can head to your App Store and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance or head to moneywise.org and click the app tab. All right, phone lines are open. In fact, it looks like we've got three lines available. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head back to the phones. Texas, Chad, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Hey, Chad.
In the Lord.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Just thank you for your service. I'm a teacher, and I've been a teacher for 10 years in Texas, and they sign us up in TRS, Teachers or Texas Retirement System. I am now going to a university, and I have the option to go TRS or continue with TRS or go ORP, and that looks to be a version of 403B1 or 403B7. And I will take TRS in retirement. It averages the last 5 years of service and then does an equation and figures out, you know, what your, it's kind of like an annuity, what you'll receive in retirement each month. I am taking a $10,000 basically pay cut for this new position. So I know that's going to affect my retirement. I just don't know what to do. Do you have any experience or advice with either of these systems?
You know, I'm familiar with what you're talking about there on both of these plans. Obviously, the teacher's retirement or the ORP, which is a defined contribution. And, you know, if you withdraw your retirement contributions, you can cancel your membership and future retirement benefits with the ERS. And then if you return to state employment, you'll be considered a new employee. So, you know, I would probably do some further planning on this just to look in detail at both options. I'd be hesitant for you to jump out of the pension plan without really understanding the implications of that, because that tends to be pretty effective. Now, do you know if it's an option for you to do a rollover to an IRA if you were to go into the new plan?
That I don't know. This is happening very quickly, of course, this being the first of the year, and it feels like I'm just being pushed through as fast as possible.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, this is one you want to try to, you know, understand the full implications of before you do it. Do you have an advisor that you've worked with in the past, Chad?
I have had an advisor that we had before, and I am part of Dan Celia's ministry. That once we went with Dan Celia, there was really no need to keep our advisor anymore. I think I have a $50 credit in an account that's kind of frozen with the advisor.
Okay. All right. Well, you could connect with an advisor to do a little more digging here. I mean, essentially, the big difference is the teacher's retirement, the TRS, is a defined benefit program, which is the pension option, whereas the ORP is a defined contribution, which, as you said, is more akin to a 401k, where it's really up to you to contribute it. So the question is, you know, can you freeze the TRS and possibly roll that to an IRA, and then moving forward, move into the defined contribution plan, where you would just establish through salary deferral contributions that you would make into the program moving forward. That seems like that might be the best of both worlds, because then you'd kind of capture what you've been, what's been going into the defined benefit program that you've had, you know, with your prior experience as a teacher. And then moving forward, you know, you would just continue to build your assets through the defined contribution as you make your own contributions moving forward. And, you know, that would be obviously additional assets that you can add to what you pull out of the pension, you know, in retirement. So I would look at that, but obviously there's fine print here that you just need to make sure you understand the implications of everything. So I think I would first look at the option of rolling it over and just see if that's available to you. And if so, I think, you know, that'd be the direction that I would go. But if you want to get a little bit more information and do some additional analysis on this, connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas, perhaps just paying for a couple of hours of someone's time to really analyze both options, both from a tax standpoint as well as a future benefit standpoint, you know, could make some sense as well.
Wonderful. Can you remind me how to reach one of the certified Kingdom advisors?
Absolutely. Chad, just head to our website, moneywise.org. You'll see a button there at the top of the page that says Find a CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor. You can do a zip code search and find one that's close to you, perhaps interview a couple, make sure it's a good fit, and then proceed from there. Moneywise.org. All right?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right, Chad. God bless you, bud. Let's stay in Texas. Luna, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. My name is Lubna Farouk. I live in Dallas, Texas, in Richardson. So actually, I was trying to improve my credit, but somehow there is a lot of inquiries, and we just bought a car like a month ago. And so I just want to, I just need some ideas, or because how to use our credit cards, you know, because the credit cards are always a big issue. So
yes.
I need to know how to use it and how to make a payment, like in a good way, you know what I mean?
I sure do. Yeah, let's talk about that. I'm going to get you to hold because we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about, unfortunately, buying a car shortly before you get a mortgage is going to create a little bit of difficulty because of that new credit. But we'll also tackle this question about credit cards and does the way you pay affect your credit score? We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The National Association of Independent Schools hosted a conference with Gender Spectrum. They encourage child transgenderism and partner with surgeons who perform sex change operation on kids. If a gender-confused adult decides they want to try to be someone other than who God created them to be, they have free will to do so. However, when we tell a little boy he can be Superman, Batman, or a girl, we've crossed the line. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values, How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Money Wise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, Luna was sharing with us from Texas that she's trying to improve her credit. She's ready to buy a home, but just bought a car a month ago. Nothing bad on the credit, but wants to work on it and try to get that credit score up. Unfortunately, Luna, you know, purchasing a car, taking out a new loan for a car, is going to make it a little more challenging to buy that mortgage, because when we seek new credit, although if you're an on-time payer and because it's added to your credit mix, the long-term benefit of having that loan for your credit score is good. But in the near term, adding new debt actually works against you and can cause, in most cases, a slight decline in the credit score in the few months following the car loan. But that should come back up in just a matter of months. As that new loan comes online. With regard to your credit, do you all carry a balance month to month on your credit cards, Luna, or is this money you're charging and then paying off every month?
Not really. Actually, we are monthly paying one off the credit cards, like the whole payment. So okay. There is no balances on our credit cards.
Okay. So you're just wondering, should you pay at a different time during the month to benefit your credit score, or were you asking something else related to the credit card?
Just make sure the credit cards, because sometimes we are behind the payments, not behind means like sometimes we cannot pay off, you know, the whole amount. We just pay the minimum or just a little bit above the minimum.
I
just want to know, is it okay, or we just need to pay off every month on time, like the full payment of the credit card?
Yeah, well, when it comes to credit cards, I mean, I really want you to use them only for budgeted items, and to the very best of your ability, try to pay them off in full every month. The extent to which we're using that to fund your lifestyle spending beyond your income is a recipe for disaster, because just with the high interest rates, which, by the way, are increasing as the Fed funds rate increases with interest rates going up, these variable credit card interest rates are going up as well. And so this is expensive money, and it's going to enable you to spend beyond your means, which we really don't want to do. We want to rein in your spending so that you're living within your means and that you even have something left over, which is going to be key to funding your goals and longer-term objectives. So I would say, regardless of your credit score, it's really critical that you limit credit card spending to budgeted items so that you can pay them off in full. Now, as it relates to your credit score, the primary factor there with regard to credit scores is something called credit utilization. So you could think in terms of all of the credit that's available to you, your credit limit, and then you'd look at your balance. And if your balance on any one card or in the aggregate across all the cards is above 30% of your total limit, the amount that's available to you, that's where it's really going to begin to hurt you with regard to your credit score. So that's something you just want to be aware of. If it's not anywhere close to 30% and, you know, you're not charging a whole lot and, you know, even when you didn't pay it in full, you're still well under that 30% threshold, then it's not impacting you negatively from a credit score standpoint, even though I would submit you're still paying a lot of interest that's unnecessary. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, sir. And one more question, like a few years ago, I joined one credit repair company. I have a lot of collections and stuff like that. And I give them a lot of money to them, you know, but still on my credit, I paid off everything actually, but my still on credit is showing a lot of collections, but it's already paid off everything. So I just want to know, do I need to join any company or something to raise everything from my credit?
Yeah. I wish you would have called me before you did that, because I would have said, don't ever pay any money to somebody who does, quote unquote, credit repair. They can't do anything that you can't do yourself free. So here's the reality of that, Luna. You and I would recommend you do this, need to be pulling your credit report at least every 6 months, if not every, you know, 3 months, four times a year, and reviewing all three bureaus' files to determine, is there any incorrect or inaccurate information? And if there is, then the Fair Credit Reporting Act says that you can dispute that, and the bureaus make it fairly easy to do this. You can dispute that information, and they then have 30 days to either correct it or delete it. Or if it is, in fact, accurate and they can document that, then they'll leave it right where it is. But you can do that yourself for free. The credit repair companies can't do anything that you can't do yourself. If, in fact, those collections are accurate and they're showing that they were in collection, even though they should be showing a zero balance if you paid them off, then those are going to be on there for 7 years in most cases. And there's really nothing you can do about that. But you can be assured that every year that passes, as those get older, even before they fall off, they become less of a negative factor in terms of how it affects your credit score. So you just want to make sure that everything's accurate. Is the collection real? Was it actually your account? And is it showing the current balance, hopefully zero if you've paid them off? And if it is, there's really nothing you can do or anybody else can do to have those removed, because that's accurate information and it's entitled to stay there and for 7 years.
Okay, I got you. Thank you very much for your all information. Thank you.
Happy to do it, Luna. Thank you for your call today. God bless you. Emily in Virginia, thanks for your call today. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I was calling to find out if, in relation to the reverse mortgage options or alternatives that you were talking about earlier, when you have had an inheritance that now you share with your brother and sister of a home, if one of the siblings wants to purchase the home from the others, is there a particular type of mortgage or one way to make that easier since it's between family members?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of ways to do that, Emily, and I would get a real estate attorney involved to make sure that you do this the proper way. But essentially, one or more siblings can buy out the others using a quitclaim deed. So the buyout would need to reflect the fair market value, or you could trigger, you know, an event that would need to at least be reported to the IRS. So that could be done. If the sibling can't qualify for a mortgage, to buy the others out, you could do an intra-family loan, essentially owner financing, where the buyer's making payments to the other siblings. Apart from that, you could obviously rent out the home and split the profits or sell the home and split the profits. But if you're looking to, you know, if one sibling is, you know, all siblings inherited this, but one wants to buy it, they really just have to determine, you know, what is the fair market value? And, they can actually purchase it from the others using that quit claim deed and go out and qualify for a mortgage on their own if they're able to do that. But give me your thoughts on that. And is there any additional information that might be helpful for me?
Well, like if in our situation, there's three of us And so would the purchase price after the real estate assessment and everything, would that then be, the purchase price be two-thirds of what the house would be worth? Or would the person have to actually pay the full amount that the house is worth?
No, they could buy the other two out just based on the value of their portion, because you all already own this, and so you'd essentially surrender your rights to your portion for the cost of that. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Sandy Rios wants to make sure you have all the facts.
The enemy right now is Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler became an enemy because he pled with the community to assist in unmasking rioters and members of Antifa. He's asking the public to identify people involved in this, and now they're freaking out, so now they're threatening him with his own life.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on AFR. If you miss it, catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
Your kids are grown and you're in a new stage of life. It's a challenging adjustment, but author Dr. Jim Burns says now is the time to make a fresh start. And his new book, Finding Joy in the Empty Nest, will equip you with practical, biblical advice. Learn to manage big issues like aging parents, managing a fixed income, or how to help your children. Request your copy of Finding Joy in the Empty Nest with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Emily and I finished up during the break there, and essentially with that inherited house that was inherited by three siblings, if one sibling wants to buy the other two out, it can be fairly simple. If you can agree on a purchase price based on establishing a market value, basically the one that wants to ultimately buy out the home can pay for the share of the other two, and they just essentially sign the deed over using a quitclaim deed. I would always use a real estate attorney to make sure everything is documented properly and handled the way that it should be. And obviously establishing that market value is going to be the primary issue there that everybody agrees on so that we can establish what their portions are worth. But we're grateful for Emily's call today. Let's head to, Louisiana. Ronnie, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Rob, I was calling for some advice and what you think I should do. I own my own agency with Allstate Insurance, and I've been with them. It'll be 25 years in January, and I'm 56 years old. I was planning on working till about 61, 62, but I haven't saved as much as I should have saved towards my retirement because my retirement was pretty much going to be banked off me selling my agency because we own the economic interest in our agency.
Yes.
But Allstate is making massive changes where they're slashing our commissions drastically and cutting our pay every year by probably in excess of $50,000 to $60,000 a year. And what it's doing, it's affecting the resale value of the agency. So when I come to sell the agency, first of all, I might not even be able to sell it because I think they're trying to get rid of the agency force completely and go to like a Geico model, which I think they'll go bankrupt if they do that, but that's a whole nother story. So what I'm trying to decide is I'm trying to get with a a kingdom advisor to see how much money I would have to start saving right now in a retirement plan to offset that loss of what, you know, what I might. I mean, I can't offset the whole thing, sure. But I could offset. In other words, if I could sell it for $1 million at 61, but now or 62, but now I can only get a $500,000, then I want to try to put enough aside, but invest, you know, biblically and kingdom minded, because I am a born again believer.
Yes,
and
sir.
I want to try to do that. So another thing, I bought another agency in 17 and financed that one for 10 years, but I was able to merge it into mine. But
okay.
I do have five more years to pay on that one, but my interest rate is phenomenal. I'm at 5.5 on a commercial loan.
Yeah.
I have five years left. Everything else I own, I'm debt free. My house is paid for. It's worth about $600,000. My office is paid for. So I'm not, and I have some money saved, but
yeah.
not near what I should have saved for retirement. I didn't think Allstate would jerk the rug out from under me. So
sure.
I thought about refinancing that agency. That would free up about $5,000 a month, but I'd have to yeah. go for 10 years, and I was going to take that $5 a month and invest that. I don't know
yeah.
if it's better to do that or pay the loan off in five more. And I'm just trying to get some sound advice based
yeah.
off my situation.
Well, that's helpful, Ronnie, and appreciate so much that background. You've obviously got a lot of moving parts there. I hope you can sort out not only the valuation of that practice business that you've built there, but the agency, but also sort through, you know, just the, you know, how that gets transitioned to the next owner. And I realize a lot of these conversations you're having are perhaps disconcerting. So I think you're right. You need to do some retirement planning once you have greater clarity on how, you know, you can sell this agency at the right time and what you would get out of it when you do, and then match that with the, you know, needs that you have in retirement to maintain your lifestyle. So at least you know what your target is, whether that comes from hopefully, you know, fully realizing the value of the agency if you're able to get there, or if not, to your point, by getting at least whatever you can out of it, and then just being really diligent between now and retirement to save and, you know, put money aside and invest it in an appropriate way so that you can, you know, build wealth. And the combination of the two, the liquidity event from the agency plus what you can put away between now and then, you know, gives you what you need to maintain your lifestyle, you know, plus Social Security. As to refinancing it, it's really going to come down to just ultimately what that new interest rate would be on the commercial loan, because I agree, you have a pretty attractive rate right now, and how that affects your cash flow, and just doing the cost-benefit analysis to determine, is it better to go ahead and, you know, reduce the debt service today so you can invest it, or just stick with that loan and get it paid off. So I think you're right. You need a financial planner that can really just help sort all of this out with you. So what I would do, Ronnie, is head to our website, moneywise.org, click Find a CKA. You'll do a zip code search to find certified Kingdom advisors near you. I'd interview two or three and then find the one that's the best fit. And it sounds like what you need most of all right now, even though you may need some asset management down the road, what you really need right now is some planning to determine what is your ultimate savings goal in terms of how much do you need to target, and then how are you going to get there, both in terms of the sale of the agency, the money you can put away between now and then, and what to do with this business note that you have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And one other question before I let you go. I mean, I know we, in the last days, biblically, we're going to, you know, the Bible talks about the mark of the beast. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without it and all that stuff. And everything happening on the political scene is moving so quick. But I am hearing, I don't know if it's rumor, I don't know if you heard anything, but I already heard that Joe Biden has signed an executive order by the end of the year to put everybody with this new digital currency, where the government will have full control of your money and that kind of thing. And it could very well affect, you know, if you have $100,000 in the bank, it could be worth $50,000 or $25,000 overnight. I know you do this way more than I do. Are you hearing anything as far as that, or is that just rumor, or has that come across your desk?
There's not anything like that that's been enacted, Ronnie. I wouldn't be concerned about that. There was a study commissioned by the Federal Reserve to look at digital currencies. They're exploring it just like every other central bank, trying to figure out their position on it, whether or not they want to create a central bank-backed version of a digital currency to counter what's happening with the cryptos. And so they're looking at it. They're obviously very concerned about what's happening in the crypto space. We've seen even this week some news out that about their posture on that that's resulted in a continued downward trend on these cryptocurrency valuations. But there's been nothing that's been enacted to put into motion anything related to digital currencies in this country. So that conversation, although there's talk about it, there's analysis being done, there's nothing that's been put in place. So I wouldn't be concerned about that anytime soon. Ronnie, we appreciate your call today. Again, to find a CKA, just head to moneywise.org, and all the best to you, sir, as you think through this. We appreciate you weighing in on the program today. Hey, folks, before we round out the program today, just in these final remaining moments we have, let's tackle a question that we get often here from good-hearted people that want to be helpful to those in need. And clearly, if we look at the Council of Scripture, we need to be looking for people on our path that are in a needy situation and responding. Poverty and need are facts of life in a fallen world. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 26:11, the poor will always be with you. Some poverty, of course, is self-inflicted. According to Proverbs, the sins of laziness, stinginess, the love of pleasure, greed, gluttony, and drunkenness can all lead to economic poverty. Sometimes, though, people can become poor through no fault of their own. But here's the reality. Generosity toward those in need, no matter how they got that way, should be a hallmark of Christian living. Psalm 112 says, the righteous man has scattered abroad, has gifts to the poor. Obviously, God expects us to be generous givers, but we're also to be good stewards of the resources he's entrusted to us. So that then begs the question, how and when do we help the needy? Well, here's some thoughts on that as we round out the program today. First, the Lord is concerned about the poor without question, so we should always be ready to help those truly in need. Psalm 82:3 commands us to defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. On the flip side, Proverbs 21:13 warns us, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. While we must defend the rights of the poor, the Bible also tells us to include the poor in our financial giving. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing. Isaiah 58:10 also contains a promise for those who look after the needy. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Giving sacrificially to those in need pleases the Lord. So we know we should give help to the least of these in our communities. But what about panhandling? Well, it's common, especially in cities, big ones, to see people begging on the street. If God prompts you to give in that situation, listen to his voice. However, a wise steward considers the realities. Often panhandlers are not what they seem. If someone approaches you asking for a handout, be prepared to direct them to a local homeless shelter or a church food pantry. Don't just always hand cash or gift cards. But here's the reality. We are to give generously, sacrificially, willingly, and cheerfully to meet the needs of the less fortunate, meet the physical needs, and there will be opportunity to fill the spiritual needs as well. After all, we've been given an inheritance of faith that is worth sharing. I hope that was an encouragement to you today. Hey, folks, thanks for being with us. Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry are a part of the team today. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here, and I hope you'll come back and join us again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.